is July 13th, 198th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, new fiscal year. He's got a smile on his face. Gary Eagles.
Well, as always, Brian, I'd like to think I have a smile on my face. And as long as it's not Friday the 13th, we're good. So Monday the 13th, that works for me.
Oh, it's a four-day weekend. I didn't tell you that. We'll talk a little bit about some of the opportunities that you have to serve your community. And we'll try to persuade you to do so.
Absolutely. I've got something to sell.
Good deal. But before we do that, our quote this morning comes from George Washington. Quote, "I hope I possess firmness and virtue enough to maintain what I consider the most enviable of all titles, the character of an honest man."
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah. How's that? How would that be for refreshing? Campaign on the fact you're an honest guy.
Well, that would be a great start.
Yeah.
A little integrity.
Or gal.
And then vision. All those pieces are nice.
All those elements. Yeah. Now, we're kind of talking about a campaign of sorts.
Yes, we are.
You on an educational side, whoever the folks are that might be susceptible to the message might have to run a campaign or run a contested. What are we talking about?
Well, here it is, Brian. We've got this coming November, some 91 positions that are up in our various school districts, up for election for school board. And I just want to get the word out to folks and get them to be thinking about it. We've posted the information on our Humboldt County Office of Education website to let people know what and to answer what do they call those FACTS, frequently asked questions, in terms of what does it take to be qualified to be a school board member and a little bit about the task.
Did you author that?
I authored part of it. Yes,
good.
Indeed,
then I can ask you those questions. We have a shot at getting the answer.
You just might have that.
What does it take to be a school board member?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll start off. It's a person who's 18 years of age, a citizen of the state, and a resident of the school district. And I want to talk a little bit about that because in most of our districts, you can reside anywhere in the district that you want to and still be eligible to run for the seats. But we do have a few of our districts that have what they call trustee areas. So you have to live within certain areas within the school district, Eureka being one of them, for example. You have to be a registered voter, and you're not disqualified by the Constitution or laws of the state from holding an office. And there are certain restrictions. Of course, it can't have been a former convicted felon and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I would think if you're a registered sex offender, that might be frowned upon.
That would not be good. But, you know, we were talking about character earlier on in reference to our first president, George Washington. And it's a matter of character and integrity and vision. But we're looking also for people who have a real dedication to kids, to education, who value the concept of public education and who want to help promote it. And believe it or not, I think these are very exciting times for individuals in the community to step up to the plate to actually serve as school boards, because since the passage of the new finance mechanism a couple of years ago in the state called the Local Control Funding Formula and the requirement for districts to annually develop what they call the Local Control Accountability Plan, which basically sets out the priorities of the district, school boards have more authority today than they've had in decades.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Eagles. Gary, the concept of school board, is it one of those positions where you have to fill out all the financial and open up everything and blah, 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 all the reporting stuff that a lot of times dissuades people from getting involved because they don't want to either go through it or they don't want their neighbors to know about it.
Well, yes, there are financial disclosure documents, but actually they're not as complex as you might think. And unless you have a very extensive investment portfolio and very complex financial package, it's relatively simple. Because you don't have to get as detailed as what a lot of people might think. But the reason you have those financial disclosure documents as public officials is so that the public knows whether or not you have any potential conflicts of interest with regard to the scope of decisions that that you might render. It doesn't come up very often when you're talking about school board members. What you generally find is those financial conflicts of interest come into play when you're dealing with boundary issues and planning issues when you're a member of a city council or a board of supervisors. Because
planning commission.
Yes, you can see where many of your decisions that might come before you might have a conflict if you are a large landowner, property owner, or something of that nature. These types of conflicts are not really present when it in most of the decisions that a school board renders, because you don't have direct financial benefits to generally what it is, the subject matter that comes up.
In this kind of a situation or scenario, I would imagine that that disclosure form becomes a public document.
Yes, it does.
So how much, what kinds of questions are asked about that kind of stuff? Is it like going for a bank loan for a home?
No, it's not.
Or
no.
Is it
no,
more it, broad?
Yeah, it's broader than that. And, you put down, where you live and if you have any general investments over a certain amount and they might ask you, I'm trying to recall, actually. I actually fill them out every year. But even for myself, I find it to be very simple because I don't have a lot of local property interests that I have to declare. And because I'm not I also don't manage or own or am a partner in an enterprise that does business with schools, I don't have to declare any of that myself. And I fill out the same types of forms as an elected county superintendent as what a school board member would fill out. So truly, it is not that complex.
You know how to run the copier, too. So a little white
true,
out.
True.
Yeah.
I might like to have all of those complex investments, but I don't really have that many to report on.
I know that you're trying to get a broad base. It's kind of like the PTA board, right? You want a little bit of everybody to be there.
Well, you want a broad perspective of the community. That's true. But let me say this. People who are willing to offer their perspectives and their viewpoints, willing to listen to others' viewpoints and perspectives, and the third quality is being willing to do that, but also work to a shared vision, a collaboration, because what you really want to do is respect diversity of opinion and perspective so that you can make sure that you're representing all constituent groups within the school. But ultimately, you have to create a single vision because you've got limited resources. You can only do so much, and you really have to decide collectively along with staff and parents and the school administration in terms of where you want the school program to go.
Is there any involvement in labor-related issues or things of that nature on these various school boards?
Yes, there would be for the school district boards of education, Brian, because local school boards are considered to be the employer of record for a school district. They employ the superintendent. The superintendent is technically the direct supervisor of all the other staff, but it is the board who collectively comes together, looks at the fiscal picture, decides what might be available for collective bargaining. In very few of the districts do they actually participate in the process of negotiating employee contracts. Or
that's
that sort
what
of
I was getting to.
But they are, in fact, I don't recommend that school board members do that work, and neither does the School Boards Association of California. But due to tradition and certain local interests, we have a few districts where one or two board members might actually participate here in Humboldt County. But it's not generally the rule of thumb, but they do set the parameters. and they give the direction to the superintendent, actually, who does most of the work in those labor relations.
So they don't have to get muddy.
No,
bloody.
But ultimately they do make the decision because they are the trustees, the financial trustees of the public's monies, and whether that applies to making decisions about how much money is available for salaries and benefits for staff or how much money is for instructional program for computers and books is ultimately left up to the school board to decide.
I would imagine that a school board is very comparable to other boards where it's the 40,000-foot perspective, not the granular.
That is true. It's policy. It's the overarching vision. It's the establishment of goals. And that's really the process now for that local control accountability plan, because the state of California requires all school districts to develop a plan based on a set of 8 criteria that they're supposed to look at. Every school has its own flavor of how they work toward improving student academic success, how they improve attendance, how they establish a positive climate, how they engage the community. You know, these are all those elements that the state asks districts to look at. But ultimately, it's the school board that has to decide, what does it really look like inside Orrick, inside Ferndale, inside Hydesville, in terms of your school district? It has a real local flavor. And that's where I say the school boards of today have much more opportunity for input and guidance in terms of what the priorities are than ever before.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop with Gary Eagles. Gary, as you look at the school board positions, 91 sounds like an overwhelmingly large number. Is it?
Well, when we have 31 school districts, and on average, they have about 5 school board members apiece. We've got a couple districts that only have 3. But overall, if you average about 5, we're talking about 150-plus school board members total. At least 2 or 3 positions per district are up for election so that there's a possibility of some turnover. The election code is established in such a way that you wouldn't typically have all 5 seats on a school board open at once. We have a couple of districts, though, in fact, more than a couple, about 6 or so, that actually have 4 seats up. And you say, wow, how come 4, not just 2 or 3? Well, it's likely that in those districts that within the last few years, there has been a voluntary resignation. Somebody was appointed to fill an interim period, and that appointment was good until the next regular election. So that's why in some of those districts, for example, Big Lagoon, Bridgeville, McKinleyville Union Elementary, and Pacific Union Elementary actually have 4 seats available.
Folks move.
And folks move. And you know, sometimes business and employment takes you out of the area. Or you your family enlarges and you need another bedroom, and unfortunately you can't find a house in your current school district, so you move even maybe just a mile away, but you're in another district. So, and then that would disqualify you from continuing to serve on that local school board. So
how entrenched are school boards? I mean, there are enough entities that have got the repository of all historical knowledge. and they're just there, and the others are kind of like window dressing, and one person drives the ship, one person pretty much is running the show, and the others will rotate through, versus I think what everybody's looking for is a peer-to-peer-to-peer relationship with the board. What kind of sense do you have? Because you could have a couple dominating personalities say, hey, I don't need the grief, and not run for a second term. Do you get a lot of turnover that way? Or once people taste this, they're in for the long term?
Actually, what's really interesting is it's been in flux. Because I would say if you would have asked me that question about 5 or 6 years ago, I would have said, wow, school board positions are very, very stable. We might get people on for 8, 12, 16 years. Matter of fact, I've got a board member that's been sitting on the County Board of Education now 38 years. But that has changed dramatically. And I think when we went through that very deep recession, it created some very difficult decisions on the part of school districts, boards of education, because people don't run for school boards to cut programs. They run to support kids. But when you have the state fiscal situation that we had, which directly bears on local district finances, there had to be a lot of reductions. We're now seeing the state's finance turn around. We're seeing the financial situation of our school districts improve. So now we're looking at the opportunity for school boards to actually talk about making investments, taking those additional dollars and doing something new and different and better for students. So, but
is
unfortunately...
Is it for the students? I know this is going to sound weird, but the old neighborhood school model,
mm-hmm.
right? It was the neighborhood's school. Not the students, not the staff, the neighborhood's
mm-hmm.
school. So you'd have people using the playground on the weekends and during the summertime. And that was part of the whole commitment. With some of these smaller rural areas, are they running for the neighborhood's school board?
Well, that's,
or is it the school board?
Well, I would actually use the phrase they're running for the community, because in some of our small districts, and in fact, so many of our districts, it's the situation where the school itself is the gathering place within the entire community. I go back to mentioning Oric again, but you could talk about Oric, you could talk about Big Lagoon, you could talk about Peninsula School over there in Samoa. These are the places that the community looks to. They gather for everything there.
It's like the old days of the school.
Yes.
When the community built it and the community paid for the teachers.
Yes. And I think you have that same extension. Kind of feeling. Hydesville, Cuddyback out there in Carlotta. The Bridgeville School. I can tell you the Bridgeville School is the center of the Bridgeville community. And that happens in so many places here that's a very perceptive observation about the school board, not only just looking at what's the best for the school from the education standpoint for kids, but what's best for the school in terms of a community resource.
So then when you're looking to apply some of these extra bucks, is it for the playground or the roof or the parking lot or some things that might not normally fit that traditional model of a more urbanized setting of
well,
a
let's
school
just say
that you say, no, you know what? We need the backstop fixed for the ball games because the community's using it, because the T-ball league is there, because the little league guys are there. That now takes a higher priority than something else because it's the school, but it's also the community having access to that rather than something else.
Mm. Well, I don't know if it would take a higher priority, because if you need a backboard, you probably need it for your basketball team during the day too. But I know what you mean, Brian. It is that perception about how do we have the kinds of facilities that serve the needs of youth and maybe also families and the like for our community. So good point. Leadership is what we're looking for. That's what a school board member is. It's a community leader who has a particular interest in the welfare of students and in their education and values public education. But I like that additional spin that you've just introduced, and that is the concept of interest in supporting the community.
Well, because add that to your facts.
Yeah. I'll go back and modify the piece of paper that we have on the on the website there.
And, you know, don't worry about that attribution. That's okay. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop with Gary Eagles. Here's some of the different programs that used to be done either at home or if you were slow, whether it's tutorial programs or those kinds of things. I mentioned just kind of in passing during the break, the Hooked on Phonics program. Okay, you don't hear about those things anymore. Are they still around? Are they still available? Can parents, if they're trying to work with their youngsters during the summer, do they have some of those types of things that are still readily available enough that they can work with them in the next 5 to 6 weeks before school starts back up again?
You know, those programs are available, actually, but a lot of people don't have the resources to actually invest in them. So,
are they pricey?
They can be. Okay. They can be. One of the things I'd strongly recommend is that more parents make use of our Humboldt County Library, main library, and the satellite libraries. They are a tremendous resource, not only for reading literacy, but for other instructional supports. And I don't think people think of the public library in the same way as we used to, and I would encourage people to reconsider the valuable role that the libraries can play.
When was the last time you were there?
About 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you hot dog.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think it's been this decade for me.
Is that right? I mean, you know. No, really. Libraries of today are not like the libraries of old. And our library system, while it's struggled under some tougher financial
circumstances. Okay, wait a minute. The county library, not the library that's on your parking lot. That one doesn't count.
Yeah, no, I don't
mean
my library. I'm actually talking about the public
library. Real library,
but,
okay.
But they have technology resources available. And they also, you know, they're trying to reach out. They've got audiobooks, music CDs. I mean, they really are a very valuable range of materials that, again, that I don't think people have really thought about. One of the priorities that we have for our young people is to encourage more of kids getting into the library. And now that we have an opportunity to talk to adults here via the radio station, let's encourage them to go down and visit. I think that'd be a good activity for adults and the kids over the next few weeks before school starts.
Keep reading, huh?
Always keep reading.
Yeah. I just finished the Bill O'Reilly, the Wild West guys.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of fun. Most of it I knew from other books, but it was still kind of a fun perspective on
good.
Some of the stuff.
But you didn't pick it up at your local library.
No, I bought it.
See, you could have saved
money. I don't like giving up the book. Well, you know, if it's a book, I want it. It's going to stay with me, buddy.
All right.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me again.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.